Okay, and we are back for part two of my astral ramblings. So I still have a couple of things I need to get off my chest and a couple of things I want to get off my chest before we start rolling into some of this energy, and there you go. The speed of my voice should be an indication that the energy is up and up and up. For those of you that didn't hear part one and are jumping into part two and have no idea what this is, I am Siobhan, owner of Sweet Immunity, and you are listening to the Healing in Doses podcast. This is an unconventional episode of what I normally do is Sky Magic, where I talk all of these beautiful, wonderful things about the cosmos. But we are in 2020, and so everything is toppled onto its side, including this podcast, right? Including this station that you've tuned into. Part one was all about Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter, Venus, the current state of affairs of 2020, some U.S. history, and some historical cosmic connections that are important for understanding the context of this time, and a couple of other important aspects to what has been happening up until this point and what we've actually been really tackling up until this point. So a bit of a review for some of the transits that have happened earlier this year, a bit of a review of what's happening in the cosmos right now. So where are all the planets kind of stationed right now at this point, and what is happening there? And then really, you know, how the hell did we get here? And what cycles are leading us right now? What cycles are we in right now that we are experiencing as chaos, but is actually in astrological order and right on time, as they say? In this episode, we're going to talk about some pivotal parts of June, which include two major eclipses, one of them on June 5th, the other one on June 21st. We'll talk a little bit about lunar nodes because that's really important to understanding why these eclipses are important. And also on a personal level, thinking back to the eclipse cycle that began in the middle of 2018, as that cycle is completing, another one is beginning. Oh, goody. And seeing where that is in your chart and how that can manifest in your life, including Uranus and Taurus. So that's a longer transit, but I think the aspects happening are in and around Uranus being in the sign of Taurus. And what does that mean globally, I think, is important. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to talk about Mars and a little bit about Venus, particularly around Mars going into Aries. And so what does that mean and how long will it be there and what implications could that have? So this is here in your cosmic backpack. For those of you that are out there protesting and speaking out and speaking up, I am with you. I love you. I adore you. I believe that battles are fought on many fronts. And so it's emotional, it's mental, it's physical, it's all of it wrapped up together. So whatever we can do, I think, as a community of healers and astrologers to add to just a sense of awareness, just a sense of everybody who's in this, whatever role you're playing, you know what time it is. And so we'll talk a little bit more about exactly what time we're in from an eclipse perspective and a Mars perspective and a Venus perspective. So get that birth chart, baby. We are back for another episode of Sky Magic. So at the time you are listening to this recording, we will be about a couple of hours before the first eclipse of 2020. You like that? And in addition, that eclipse is the first eclipse in the new nodal structure. So we have the nodes of the moon in Sagittarius and in Gemini. And so this strawberry moon, this lunar eclipse that's happening on June 5th, the indigenous people called it the strawberry moon because this is the time, you know, where the moon is ripe, and it's also the perfect time to pick strawberries, right? If you're using the moon and the earth and the sun to do your planting and your growing, and you're using the farmer's almanac and all that good stuff. You know, this is a time when you would pick all the strawberries, and it's a time of sweetness. It's just, you know, real sexy. It's like right before summer, and you get to that ripe strawberry, and it's juicy, good, and delicious. And that is part of the reason why it's called the strawberry moon. However, this moon has a little bit of a of a different kind of punch, right? This particular moon will be at 15 degrees in fiery Sagittarius, the sign of revolution, the sign of power, the sign of being a leader, the sign of disruption, the sign of creativity, the sign of also joy and optimism, but the sign of creating a new world. It's a sign of expansiveness, of learning, of travel, of new visions, new languages, new understandings of things. It's a revolutionary sign. And so we will have this beautiful strawberry moon, this lunar eclipse moon, 15 degrees in the middle. 15 degrees is the center. It's 30 degrees that a sign can be in. So it's right smack dab in the middle. It is firm. That energy is concentrated in the sign of Sagittarius. Right? In the earlier part of this episode, we talked about we talked about the US chart. And you know, for those of you that are students of astrology and you know about your rising sign, right? Your rising is your persona. You know, some astrologers say that all the planets in your chart are really striving to realize your ascendant, right? They're striving to allow that persona to thrive. They are the backbone of that expression. The U.S.'s ascendant is in Sagittarius. Its rising sign is Sag. And so to have such a powerful moon in that sign, in that pressurized degree, that's important. It's important for what we're going through at this moment. We are literally reinventing our identity. Eclipses are all about activating destiny, accessing destiny. And so who are we going to become? This is especially important because it is the first installment in a whole new eclipse series that's going to happen for the next 18 months or so, because we will have this nodal journey of the south node in Sagittarius and the north node in Gemini for the next 18 months or so. So for my journal people, my people who keeps the journals, who keeps the diaries still, I need you to do me a favor. And I need you to record where you are in this moment in time, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're experiencing. Because you will in 18 months be able to see the results of that emotionally, spiritually, physically. Think about who you're with, who you want to be with, who are your friends, where are they, what connections you want to make, the state of your family, all of that, how you're feeling, thinking, what new world do you want to birth, right? We got the south node in Sag, we got the north node in Gemini. For those of you that are like, what the fuck is a node? In short, the moon has her own orbit. She does whatever the fuck she want to do. And she has her own orbit around Earth. And she is vital to the existence of Earth as a planet and us as a species. And so the highest points, there are two kind of high points of that elliptical orbit. And those two points straddle two different signs, signs that oppose each other, right? If you look at your birth chart, if you look at, you know, the natural birth chart, Sagittarius, right? Opposes Gemini. And so that siren back there, it's like a warning signal. It's like a warning sign. It's a warning sign. We're birthing something. We're birthing something. Gemini is all about data and information and communication and playfulness and lightheartedness, but it's also about duality and two sides of the coin and two struggles and two storylines. So check everything you see and check everything you read. And we're seeing that in the media. We're seeing that in our own lives. You get sent a YouTube video. You might get a different clip on Instagram. You might get a different clip from somebody's TikTok, and you might see something completely fucking different on the news. That's Gemini. All things considered, all things can be true. But Sagittarius is not just about that limited stream of data. Sagittarius is expanding around what we even think is knowledge to be had. So it's not just about looking at what's happening in the US, it's how is that being manifested across the world, that Sagittarian energy. It's not about thinking about what we are doing for our nucleus as a people, but how do our actions here impact the world, that Sagittarian energy. And that's that lunar eclipse. That's where that lunar eclipse will be, right? What's also important is that, you know, aside from that being, you know, the U.S. ascendant point, right? The U.S.'s rising sign being in Sag. We got that south node and we got that north node. So, you know, nodes are about destiny. And around every 18 months or so, the moon, she moves. She's a bit erratic, not gonna lie. But she moves and her elliptical orbit moves, and therefore the nodes move. The high and low ends of her journey move. The maximum and minimum points of her journey move. And so earlier this year, they moved into these two signs. And so wherever Sagittarius and Gemini rule in your chart, that's where the south node and the north node are, respectively, and will be for the next 18 months. So the south node has a lot to do with past karma, has a lot to do with what's at the root of something. So think about how that relates to today, us getting at the root of information, us getting at the root of collective energy, us getting at the root of spirituality, us getting at the root of what we believe in, what we are fighting for. What are you fighting for? On an individual level, on a global level, what do you want to have in this world? What are you fighting for? And then we got that north node. That north node is about destiny. That north node is about shaping one's destiny. So every time the north node pivots, it's an opportunity for each and every one of us to adapt and change and influence and co-create our destiny, based on the houses that those nodes sit in. And of course, whatever planets are in that from a natal birth chart perspective, and what planets are transiting those points in the current chart, in the current landscape, it's all layered like a nice sexy onion. So of course, when we begin a new cycle, because on June 5th, we're going to begin the Sagittarius Gemini cycle of eclipses and also of activity, feelings, thoughts, movements, connection related to the Gemini Sagittarius areas of your chart. To begin a new cycle, we got to close out one. So take a ride with me on the memory lane train. And I want you to think about where you were the summer of 2018. Because in the summer of 2018, the nodes moved into Capricorn and Cancer, respectively. So when the nodes were there, what areas of your chart did they rule? Did you have your south node in the seventh house and your north node in the first? Did Capricorn rule those parts of your chart, right? Capricorn maybe ruled your seventh house. Cancer ruled your first house when the node shifted in there. Maybe Capricorn ruled your eighth house. and Cancer ruled your second house when the nodes moved in. For the past 18 months, even if you haven't really put it all together, if you sit back and you think about from the summer of 2018 to now, there's parts, probably big chunks of your life, decision-making, changes, a lot can happen in 18 months. But if you trace them back, do they fall into one or both of those sections in your chart? That axis, that Capricorn Cancer axis, and whichever areas of your life that they concern from your birth chart, is that where you saw the most activity? And what's really going to be fun, because I started doing it for myself and I was like, wow. What's really going to be fun is for you to trace that back and see, where are you now? Where are you now in comparison to where you were the summer of 2018? Where are you living? Who are you partnered with? How is your family? What does your health look like? How is your spirit, right? We're talking about the moon. So with the moon, we're always talking about the body. We're always talking about emotions. For women, we are talking about our cycles, fertility. We are talking about our relationship to substance. We're talking about our heart, how we love, how we feel. What did we discover about ourselves? What did we learn about ourselves? Who influenced changes? What changes in our life? Right? If you had Cancer in the fourth house, which represents home, family, secrets, what did you learn about your family over the past year and some change? What did you discover about your roots? Right? If you had Cancer in your fourth house, what happens? If you had Capricorn in your 10th house, what happened with your career, your jobs? What relationship did you have to that thing? Right? And what events and what other transits that transpired along the 18 months impacted any one of those two things? So this is not just a singular story. This is a multi-layered story. And so on June 21st for the summer solstice, we get to close out that summer of 2018 story. And on June 5th, right, about 2 weeks before that, we get to begin a new one. So that's a wild thing to think about, right? That's a wild thing to think about. If you're thinking about like what transformed your reality since July 2018, because that's when the Cancer Capricorn, you know, partnership, that dynamic duo took effect in everyone's chart, because that's just where the nodes are. That's just where the moon decided, you know, her orbit was going to swing. And those were the highs and low points, right? How has your life transformed over the past 18 months? And with that intel, take that insight and then think about where your life could possibly transform over the next 18 months with this shift into Sagittarius and Gemini. What could change? What's possible? What's available? What houses do these signs govern? That's going to be important. When we think about what's happening in world events, this eclipse on the 5th, it's a wild one, because it's from the US's perspective. It is sitting on a world point. It is sitting on the country's ascendant. It is sitting in a place, in a sign that's about pioneering and revolution and rebellion and scrapping it all and building what's best. It's about collective interest, not singular interest, but the broader view, not who we are together just in this ecosystem, but who we are and what does that ecosystem mean for everyone else. The cosmos are doing something here. They're pulling something. They got a storyline here. We are all in it. And our individual stories matter to that. So pay attention to that. Now, 2020 actually has 7 eclipses. I'm only going to talk about the June ones because it involves the ending of one cycle and the beginning of another. The beginning of one cycle on June 5th and the ending and the closing out of a cycle on June 21st. With also the closing out of a cycle and the beginning. Remember that solar eclipse is the beginning. It's a new moon. And also it's the summer solstice. So that's one, that one is powerful and structural and very intention focused. That June 21st one ain't nothing to play with. The June 5th ain't nothing to play with either. But June 21st is a closing and an opening at the same time. June 5th is a really powerful opening. And so they all have the potential in your chart, and they all have the potential in this kind of global thing that we are dealing with right now. I use astrology to frame life, to help me understand and put things into context. And in studying and learning and teaching and guiding people through astrology, I've learned one thing, is that we are in one big cosmic circle. And we are in one big cosmic cycle. And what looks like massive, crazy, destructive, wild, like out of nowhere time has already been done before. We've already seen it before. It's already happened before. Saturn-Pluto conjunctions that cause disease, it's happened. Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions that cause the building of a new world, it's happened. We just happen to be having a lot of it all at the same time. So again, it looks like 100 years worth of history in one spot. And it also, for you on an individual level, that's important because what you think might be something different could be a reflection of a cycle, right? Your karmic pattern, your cosmic destiny. What's the karma you need to clean up? And so your birth chart has its own, you were born under your own nodes, right? You have your south node somewhere and your north node somewhere. So you were brought into this world with some karmic debt to clean up, make peace with, and transform to work in your favor. Right? Your south node can be the gift that keeps on giving. And then also, what are you here to do? And how are the rest of the planets in your birth chart helping you to realize that destiny? That's your north node. And so how do you find it in your chart? They look like like horseshoes, like horseshoes. One where the south node, right? The horseshoe, the opening is up. So it looks like a U. And then in the north node, the horseshoe points down. And so it looks like an upside down U. It's really the head and tail of a dragon from mythology, but we can talk about that later, right? The north node, the ends are pointing downward. The south node, the ends are pointing upward. So I always think of it as, what did you come up from the underworld with? What are you carrying with you? And what roots must you plant into the ground before you make your transition? That's how I think of it. What did you come up with and what do you plant down? And so that's in your chart. And for everyone, these nodes are sitting in the Sagittarius and Gemini parts of your chart. And children born at this time will have these nodes in Gemini and Sag. So when you have this switch, it's in the Sagittarius part, in the Sagittarius ruled area. Let's say Sagittarius rules your seventh house, right? That's your seventh house ruler. ruling sign, rather. What is the karmic? Let's say that because the Sagittarius, the South Node is in Sagittarius, right? So what cleanup you need to do in terms of your relationships and your partnerships, business partnerships, marriages, divorces, what's the clearing that needs to happen in your seventh house? And what new aspect of learning, growing, and developing of your identity is happening in your first house? Because if Sag rules your seventh, then Gemini rules your first. And so how can you grow collectively in your relationships, and how can that influence the way your identity manifests and how that identity is communicated into the world? Among a host of other things with that configuration. Especially if there are some planets up in there. So that's important. What else is happening in June? Well, we have Uranus in Taurus right now, teaching us a lot about money, how we earn it, how we grow it, how we build it, depending on the configuration, how we lose it. Also our values, our aesthetics, what matters to us, what do we stand for? And so Uranus is the planet that's neither good or bad, it just is. What Uranus does is it abruptly makes change. It's not just this like one thing after another like Saturn, right? Saturn can also abruptly make change too if the thread is weak enough. All it takes is one more thing before it breaks. Uranus cuts through whether it, you know, it just cuts through that shit. It doesn't wait for something else to happen. It just cuts it. Right? So Uranus is shaking up. Uranus is in Taurus. It is shaking up what people think of in terms of what is beautiful. It is shaking up what people think about in terms of their values. I mean, that goes without saying. But particularly the relationship to money and food. What structures have we had around money and food? We are running out of, and resources. Pandemic happens, we automatically start running out of toilet paper. Alcohol that you would get for $2 in the convenience store is now like $35 a bottle. I've seen it, it's crazy. So our resources being drastically changed, our access to food sources being drastically changed. And so what do you see now? What do you see now that everybody's at home? Well, everybody's buying up flour and water and things, going back to baking bread. We went from being in a society that was like anti-carbs to everybody on TV making sourdough. And so the idea of like having bread in your home, like bread is always one of the staple things, you know, our parents and grandparents thought about when they thought, do we have food in the house? Do we have bread? Do we have bread? Do we have water? Forget body washes and like sexy oils and stuff. Do we have soap and toilet paper? Like getting down to basics and getting to the root of it. Meat shortages, meat plants. People are now growing. Every time I look everywhere, there's an ad for urban farming. There's an ad for, you know, kitchen windowsill, you know, bedroom windowsill, you know, tomatoes and basils that we can grow. Getting back to nature, right? Taurus is all about earth. It's the fixed earth sign. So it's about getting in touch with nature, getting back to the ground. This whole COVID thing has forced like my real need to be next to trees and rivers and waters and sunlight, right? We were stripped from being outside and having access to one of the most vital aspects of human existence, which is sunlight. That's Uranus and Taurus. It's destabilizing, it's rebellious, it's wild, but it's making each and every one of us reshape our values. So in spite of just the disease, people wanting to live outside of cities so that they can get back to nature, so that they can grow their own food, so that they can be in smaller communities that have a deeper and a better conservation of resources. that's Uranus and Taurus, and that is currently happening right now. And to make everything even real sexy and real wild, we're going to have Mars entering into Aries right around the time Venus goes direct. So after we have rewritten our love story, we have Mars sitting in Aries. Now, for those of you who are Aries, you will have your planet, your chart, your, for some of you, maybe your chart ruler, but definitely your sign ruler will be in Aries till 2021 because of a deep retrograde that it does. So it's going to be in Aries longer than it's been in a very long time. Aries is the planet of war. Yes. Aries is the planet of fighting and violence. Yes. Aries is the planet of anger and frustration. Yes. It is also the planet of sexual passion. It is also the planet of deep intuition. It is also the planet of the defender, the warrior. It is also the planet of the, you know, when I think about Aries, when I think about Mars and Aries, I think about all these videos where they got, you know, people dressed up as Spider-Man and as Batman. Somebody's going to come out looking like Iron Man real soon and Captain America. That's that kind of energy. It's not about fighting just to fight. It's about fighting for a cause, and it's about fighting for what you believe in. It's about fighting for who you are. So yeah, depending on where Aries rules your chart, fighting for that, defending that, having courage, having leadership, being more direct, being more forthright, taking charge of that area of your life. That's going to be the wave. And so think about the layering. In the beginning of the year, we have destabilization. We have the breakdown of systems that honestly was making all of us lazy and all of us in our own zone and all of us disconnect and none of us give a shit about each other, about anything. There were people screaming for change. But as a collective, we was too busy on TikTok. We was too busy, you know, doing these dances to songs that probably shouldn't have dances. We was doing that. We was out here fighting each other for toilet paper. And the structures got broken down so bad to the point where after we stopped fighting each other for toilet paper, we're looking at each other like, why the fuck are we fighting each other for toilet paper? What's wrong with this system that we are here today? What's wrong with this system that people are dying the way they are? And so this is how we started off the year. Then Venus swung into her retrograde, challenging us to rewrite how we do our relationships to each other. And the irony of that is that we've all had to do that probably without the person that we want to relate to because we've been in the house. So we've had a lot of individual time. Even if you're in, you know, you happen to be living with your beloved and you were quarantined with them, at some point you probably had to break away and find your own space to really think about what your love meant then. And so we've been pushed away from each other for our safety and had the opportunity to dig deep into how we want to reconnect to each other when it is safe and when it is possible. And then we had some shifts and some changes that made that necessary to be together, made togetherness necessary. Through protest, through fighting structures that put us in positions to not have adequate healthcare or, you know, not have what we need, whatever it is that we needed. Even if you had all of those things and simply just wanted to, you know, go on vacation, we were put in positions where we didn't have that and we couldn't do that. And so we were forced to find such, you know, we were forced on a global level to test out the age-old theory of does absence make the heart grow fonder? And I think we're seeing evidence of some of that in our deep desire to be close to each other and in our deep desire to be together in protest, regardless of the potential costs and risks. And I find that interesting, astrologically and socially. And this feeling of How do we want to manifest our life? What knowledge do we need? What connection do we want to have to each other? And then how do we want that to serve as the pillar for our life? Well, June sets us up with that too, with Mars's ingress into her sign, into the place where she is most at home, into the place where she is most comfortable. It's as if Mars has been on this like world tour, and now she's back in her strategy room. So for some, it's not going to mean instant fighting. For some, it's going to mean deep strategy, deep leadership, taking control, taking charge of things. Remember, Mars rules Aries and Scorpio. So when Mars is in her home sign, it has an impact on Scorpio and it has an impact on Aries. Scorpio is about control and order and transformation and rebirth. Mars is about will, power, courage, independence, championship. It's about winning. It's about passion and living your life fully and freely. I have a beautiful Aries friend, and I mean every third word that comes out of her mouth is about being free. It's about having freedom. It's about freedom without. I have a lot of Aries friends. I have another beautiful Aries friend where she is, I mean, the epitome of living your life on your own wave and standing up for yourself and standing up for what you believe in, no matter what. So if you know an Aries, you know, if you know someone who has a lot of Aries in their chart, freedom is a big deal. Feeling free is a big deal. Being free is a bigger deal, right? There's feeling free and there's being free. And Aries is about being free. And so having Mars in Aries is a testament to what it means to be free. So wherever that is in your chart, do you have freedom there? What boundaries can you overflow? What can Saturn destroy? And what can Pluto unveil for you so that you can have freedom in that part of your chart? And you know, we're not going to get too much into it now, but you know, planets make relationships to other planets. That's what's known as aspects. So just pull your birth chart. You're going to see a bunch of lines. You'll be like, what the fuck does that mean? Find these planets. And then just as a simple exercise, see what contact they have to other parts of your chart. That sector of your chart is going to be along for the ride too. So if any of this is overwhelming to you, the goal of June is not for you to get overwhelmed. The goal of June is for you to stay the course. Figure out where you can contribute. Figure out where transformation needs to happen in your life and let it happen. Don't shy from it, and you don't have to force it. The universe will put you where you need to be. All you need to do is be ready to act and be ready to live and be ready to redefine what it means to be free. And I have nothing left to say. That is it, honey. That is it. I've said all that I can say. In this time, history is important. Connecting the dots is important. Understanding that what looks like chaos, if you really put that microscope in it, you'll see the beautiful web, the beautiful pattern, the cyclical nature of all things. And so in understanding that, it's really about providing beautiful context in the world that we live in today. And beautiful context for the world that we're trying to build today. Wherever you are in this struggle, in this revolution, in this push for change, whether you are optimistic or pessimistic, the reality is that the world is moving with you or without you. It will move anyway. It will shift anyway. And so it becomes, on a micro level, extremely important for us to figure out who do we want to be on the other side of that change. And so look at that. Look at where this is happening in your life. But if you think you're crazy, you're not crazy. If you think the world has gone to shit and this is just like something out of nowhere, it isn't. If you think that the best way to handle it is to negate it, is to ignore it, that ain't gonna work either. Right now is everyone's opportunity to lean in to the shift that we are experiencing on a collective level and the shift that we are experiencing in our own lives and in our own selves. So lean into that beauty. Understand it and lean into it because it's there to welcome you. That is it, my darlings. I'll be back for some more ramblings in another unstructured time. Based on that, you can figure out what planets are in my chart. But I hope that all of this information in parts one and two were wonderful and effective for you and helpful for you as you try to find yourself, find your light in the darkness. As always, be kind and beautiful to the universe, and the universe will, whether you think so or not, be kind and beautiful to you. Bye-bye, my darlings. Happy June.